Chapter 14. Fist of Iron. A space marine's sleep was short but necessary. Even the Emperor himself could not engineer out the human need for rest. An insistent chiming woke Zerberin. His enhanced physiology brought him from deep slumber to full awareness in a fraction of a second. A red lumen bulb, caged in battered wire, blinked over his cell door. Accommodation for officers and line warriors alike was basic in Karkator's fortress. Zerberin's smelled of damp and fresh ferrocrete. "What is it?" he said. The vox emitter by the door crackled. "Forgive me, my lord. There is a librarian serf here to see you. He says it is urgent, your command. I swore to kill him if he was lying, but he insists it is the truth." Zerberin was off his pallet and by the door in a single stride. The door slid back into the wall. Brother Rantan stood over a cowering man. Zerberin sneered. The serfs had become more cowardly of late.
"My lord," said the serf nervously, "you told me to come and inform you the moment the Iron Warrior's witch started making sense. Well, she has."
"I will visit her immediately. Summon Honorius to the Astropathicum." The witch twitched in her cradle of wires and chains. She spoke rapidly and so quietly the serfs transcribing her ramblings had to lean in close. The transliterator of the Dantalion's Astropathicum stood at the other side of her, listening intently. Zerberin's Lyman's ear enabled him to apprehend her words, but he could make no sense of the meaning. "It is still gibberish," said Zerberin.
"No, my lord," said the serf. "She speaks in a standard astro-telepathic metaphor. You, my lord, would never hear it. The method is idiosyncratic to each sender and receiver, but there is a commonality of pattern. This is one of the simplest, the first mnemonic image words an astropath learns."
"Someone wants us to hear this message," said Honorius.
The minutes trickled by. Eventually, the witch's mumbling became fainter, and she sagged in her restraints. The transliterator had the serfs read back what they had written to him, then he nodded, took the scrolls they had produced, and approached the fist's exemplar.
"My lords," he said, "the witch has spoken. I have a message."
The transliterator's face was twisted in disgust at being so close to an unsanctioned psyker, and he kept turning his head back towards her.
"The Black Templars are coming. Our sending got through."
"Tell me the message exactly," said Zerberin.
"I cannot offer exactness," said the transliterator regretfully, "but I can convey the meaning. The last wall is disbanded. The beast is dead."
"Inform the others. This is a day for celebration," said Zerberin.
The serfs lost their newly cowed nature for a moment and stood taller. Their excitement stimulated the witch's mind, and she moaned in her fugue. The transliterator held up his hand.
"If I may, my lord, High Marshal Beaumont himself comes here. One part of the message is very clear, repeated several times."
Zerberin's good humour vanished.
"That is?"
"Death to the betrayers of the Imperium of Man. Praise be."
"A difficult situation," said Honorius dryly.
"We've got to get out of this fortress. Meet them in the void," said Zerberin. "Beaumont won't pause. He will attack immediately and destroy the city. Call the first company to me, full armor. Honorius, muster the rest of the fist exemplar and have them take up position to seize the fortress by force. Tell the captains to be ready, but not to act. Then you and I must pay a visit to the warsmith." The veterans of the chapter gathered quickly. They were raw, as Space Marine veterans were reckoned, with most of the first company killed and replaced several times over in the war against the beast. But they were formidable, nevertheless, and Zerberin could count on their absolute loyalty. They marched openly to the centre of the fortress. The Iron Warriors responded, occupying strong points where they could. In other places, Fist's Exemplar and Iron Warriors came face to face. Zerberin ordered his squads to match them man for man and left them staring at each other, armaments ready. The fortress command hub was deep in the mountainside, a spherical sub-building independently supplied with power and air.
One corridor approached the armored doors, dead straight, 200 meters long, every square centimeter covered by automated turrets and servitor-directed heavy weapons. The majority of the first company halted at the end. Zerberin marched right down it, flanked by his command squad. Guns tracked his movement, but did not open fire. He halted beside the door. His standard-bearer planted his flag firmly, the clink of the pole on the ferrocrete echoing ominously. Every weapon whirred around to cover the first captain. The door remained shut. A hidden voximeter activated.
"At last our alliance breaks," said Calcator, his voice sounding down the corridor.
"Not so, or we would already be fighting," said Zerberin. "I come with news. High Marshal Beaumont is on his way to this system. He intends to kill you."
"He is already here," said Calcator. "He arrived an hour ago at the Mandeville Point. They will be in orbit of Emitter 7 in less than a day."
"Why was I not informed?"
Calcator laughed, his voice taking on that strange doubling it did sometimes. The second voice sent chills down Zerberin's limbs. It was wholly unnatural.
"Because of this," said Calcator.
"They are traitors by nature," said Brother Mardath, Zerberin's melter gunner.
"You are the ones here in full battle array," said Calcator. "I knew of this, and I could have murdered you in your sleep, and I did not. Do you really intend to slaughter your allies after all we have been through?"
"No," said Zerberin. "This is a precaution. I do not intend to kill you, but to save you."
"Really now," said Calcator. "How touching. If you do not come out, Beaumont will arrive here with his crusade. Already we outnumber you. I have 250 brothers remaining, you but 90. We are in your fortress. We will prevail if we are forced to cross swords."
Silence greeted Zerberin's remark. He glanced at Honorius. The ancient librarian gazed resolutely ahead.
"What do you propose?" said Calcator. "Come with me on the Dantalion. We must meet Beaumont away from this nameless moon, in the void. An easy way to present my head to your brother."
"I will speak with him, make him see sense," said Zerberin. "Leave the Palamedes here in case you need to evacuate. I will make my best efforts to ensure that does not happen."
"It will happen. Beaumont is a fanatic."
"He is a noble son of Dorne," said Zerberin angrily. "He will listen. If we wait, he will attack. If we meet him in the void, your men will have a chance to escape."
"You ask me to abandon a third world? I do not have an infinite supply of planetary holdings, you realize. If we lose Imitis, my great company will be lost."
Zerberin looked aside, searching for the right words.
"Calcator, I can see no alternative. You have fought honorably by my side. I will not allow you to be killed by Beaumont. I give you my word. Staying here is untenable. Come with me. Beaumont will not open fire on the Dantalion. You do not have a choice."
A klaxon sounded once. The doors slid open, four intersecting triangles splitting wide to reveal Calcator waiting on the other side, flanked by his own veterans.
"I agree," he said. "I do not."
"The abhorrence approaches,"
said Shipmaster Makarian. His eyes moved more than those of a hale man, darting about in their cage of half-dead flesh. The surf crew of the Dantalion had learned to read their motions well. A close view of the Black Templars flared into life in the main honolith. Zerberin watched it with Honorius and Rayok. The apothecary's presence discomforted him. As their time with the Iron Warriors had dragged on, Rayok had abandoned his civilized shell, becoming more savage.
"She has suffered in the war," said Markarian,
a ribbon of drool leaking from the corner of his semi-paralyzed mouth. His hololith officers read his desire and painted highlight signifiers upon the abhorrence.
"Gravitic lash damage, mass impact trauma," said the master of the auger. "Their reactor reads with a 4% erratic pulse." "She has no attendant vessels," said Honorius. "She comes to confront us alone."
"The Black Templars are rash for Sons of Dawn," said Apothecary Rayok. I wonder how it would be to test our bloodlines against one another.
Their fanaticism outstrips their wisdom, said Calcator. You would win.
War Smith, I ask you to be quiet. If Beaumont knows you are on board this vessel, then this communication will be short, and the results bloody. Fist Exemplar never make mistakes. Don't prove that truth a lie.
Calcator bowed his armored head in acquiescence.
Neither I nor my men shall say a word, First Captain.
I have a request for communication, my lords, said the Master of the Vox.
Zerbrin stepped into a narrow field hololith plate.
Activate!
Beaumont's scarred face materialized in the hololith display.
Zerbrin, you live. I fear to find an iron warrior at the helm of the Dantalion.
I remain in command of my own ships, High Marshal. I see the Paragon, the Implicit, the Courageous, and the Gilliman remain operational. You have done well. How many of you still live?
248 of the 400 brothers I set out with remain.
Zerbrin felt a thrill of disquiet at disclosing his numbers.
I am sorry. We have all suffered gravely in this war, and yet your survival is cause for celebration. Thane has reconstituted the Imperial Fists from the successors. You and your warriors are the Fists' Exemplar.
Zerbrin bowed his head.
First, the traitors must be crushed, went on Beaumont. Then you may join with us on Thane's crusade to slaughter the remaining Orc hordes and restore the Imperium to peace. Praise be to the Lord of Mankind.
Zerbrin felt Calcator's eyes in the back of his neck. He could not reply.
Brother, said the High Marshal.
I cannot, said Zerbrin tightly.
Explain yourself, said Beaumont dangerously.
Throughout this war, the Iron Warriors have fought alongside us. Without their support and access to their intelligence, supplies, and bases, the Fist Exemplar would have been annihilated weeks ago.
Then stand aside. We shall do the job for you if you lack the heart, said Beaumont scornfully.
That I cannot do either. I have sworn an oath to preserve the life of the Warsmith and his men. Depart, and we shall join you at a rendezvous of your choosing, but the Iron Warriors will be permitted to leave.
A savage smile turned Beaumont's ruined face even uglier.
Is that a threat of action against the Black Templars, Fist Exemplar? Be careful with your words.
It is what it is. I have no wish to fight you. Allow me to fulfill my oath, and all will be well.
Allowing traitors free, said Beaumont. This is far from well. To associate with traitors is to become a traitor. Prepare to be boarded. I will detain you. You shall be returned to Terra to face the judgment of the Inquisition. They shall determine your fate. I shall pray that they are merciful and offer you a quick death. Contact your demon-worshipping friends and tell them that Beaumont comes for their heads.
Beaumont stepped back from the projector. Its focusing loops retrained themselves on the background. Zerbrin caught a glimpse of armored pods and flat projection platforms.
He's on the teleport deck, he breathed.
My lord, the abhorrence is powering its main weapons array, called out a serf. They've raised their shields.
Damn him, snarled Zerbrin.
He came in expecting to fight. Prepare for combat. All ships raise shields and prime weapons.
Tocsins sounded. Markarian gave out a calm string of orders. The deck crew went into swift action, bringing the Dantalion ready.
Activate psychic shielding, he concluded.
The Librarium serfs began to sing in their alcoves, weaving a subtle field of protection around the command deck.
Zerbrin looked helplessly on as the abhorrence powered forwards. Beaumont meant to pass into the middle of his fleet.
We have multiple launch tubes coming online aboard the abhorrence, said a serf.
They're locking on to our weapon batteries and engines, said another.
A clamour of information filled the deck, drowning out the warding songs of the choir.
Captain Arcos of the Fourth demands to speak with you, said the Master of the Vox.
Demands, said Calcator. You are losing control of your warriors, First Captain.
Zerbrin ignored the jibe.
Give me Hololith.
What are you doing? said Arcos without preamble.
I will not attack a fellow Adeptus Astartes. Have you lost your mind?
You will follow orders, said Zerberin.
I do not follow orders from traitors. I will contact Beaumont. This has gone far enough. I stand with him.
Arcos cut the hololithic feed.
My lord, I have a message from First Sergeant Rost aboard Paragon querying your orders. They're breaking formation, said the master of the Vox.
Hold fire!
Shouted Zerberin. The situation was slipping from his grasp.
The Black Templars are firing on us, said the master of the Augur.
Through the vast oculus, they saw the Abhorrence's weapons flash in sequence along both flanks and down its spine. The main hololith display, filled with blinking icons, denoting incoming ordnance.
Shall I return fire? Asked Makarion.
No,
shouted Zerberin.
Brace for impact. Hail Beaumont again.
Massive energy spike amidships of the Abhorrence.
Honorius held up an armored hand to his bare face.
The warp is disturbed. They are coming.
Shapes of flickering mist coalesced towards the command deck blast doors. 12 huge shapes began to form. The choirs sang louder, and half of the Black Templars' emerging forms rippled, the helmets of the warriors twisting and melting into the underlying flesh. 3 disappeared altogether to the sound of ghostly screams. The others, affected, crashed to the deck in a mess of steaming metal and flesh. The remainder arrived firing.
So you bring your traitor friends aboard your own ship?
Boomed Beaumont when he saw Calcator behind Zerberin. He marched forwards, his massive Terminator suit denting the deck plating, his weapon blasting serfs apart. Whether it was the Iron Warriors or the Fist's Exemplar who returned fire first, the result was the same. Bolts filled the air from all 3 sides, the banging of their release and explosion drowning out the cries of terrified serfs. Makarion, unable to move, was reduced to bloody rags of flesh hanging from his exoskeleton. The numerous weapons built into the bridge's walls and ceiling opened up at his death, catching the Black Templars in a murderous crossfire. Bolts spanged off their thick armor, but there were more potent weapons on the bridge. Honorius ravaged them with psychic fire, and one by one they began to fall.
Stop! Stop!
Shouted Zerberin. He moved to intercept Beaumont as he marched towards Calcator, but the High Marshal slapped him aside. His power fist ruptured the plastron of Zerberin's armor, lifting him high and slamming him into a serf station.
You shall die the traitor's death, Calcator. You will have to catch me first, said the warsmith. I will gladly kill you here, if that is what the Emperor demands.
Beaumont emptied his storm bolter into the warsmith's chest, but Calcator weathered the storm, his armor's superior construction protecting him. Beaumont let out a thunderous war cry.
No mercy! No remorse! No fear!
He lumbered into a charge. Calcator was ready. With impossible strength, he slammed the High Marshal in the head, breaking the adamantium and ceramite of his armor, and sent him toppling backwards. Beaumont came to rest on the floor, struggling to get back to his feet. Calcator advanced on him, gun out. Beaumont got onto his knees, wrenched off his helmet, and cast it aside.
See, Zerberin, said Beaumont, see what you ally yourself with. This Iron Warrior is possessed of unnatural vigor. He has given himself over to fell powers to make himself mightier. You have sorely disappointed me, Zerberin. Have you also embraced his sorcery? You disrupted the transit of my men. I should have blasted you from the void the moment I saw you.
Zerberin heaved himself out of a tangle of broken components and metal. His armor leaked gas from its ruptures, frothing ceramite gels bubbling around the cracks. The sounds of fighting diminished and stopped as the last of Beaumont's Black Templars died. The Fist's Exemplar trained their guns on the Iron Warriors. A tense silence fell, too thick to be broken by the groans of the wounded and the dying. The ship rocked and rumbled under the bombardment of the Abhorrence, but the shields held.
It is no sorcery. This vessel was modified to withstand the worst the Rubicante Flux could marshal. The Librarium choirs confound cross-warp teleport as easily as they do the demon. You accuse a man who has spent his entire life fighting chaos.
You will burn for all time in the fire of the Emperor's judgment, said Beaumont.
Call off the attack, said Zurbarin. This ends now.
Never, spat Beaumont. I would rather die fighting than offer succor to the traitor legions. They are an abomination in the holy sight of the Emperor. They must be purged. If you will not do it, then I will, though I die in the attempt.
See him throw his life away. Is this what you want to serve, Zurbarin, this frothing zealot?
The Emperor himself denounced his own worship, said Calcator. He scolded the word-bearers for seeing him as a god.
And yet you will listen to the words of this man, who with his idolatry spits in the face of the Emperor you purport to follow?
The Emperor is not a god, said Zurbarin. It is you who should be censured, not I.
There is another possibility, Zurbarin, said Calcator. Horus, Perturabo, and the others were correct. The Emperor lied to us all. He denied the truth of the warp not to protect us, but to keep its secrets to himself. When it appeared his sons were stumbling too close to the truth of it, he forbade the use of librarians. He intended all along to be a god, and he used the human race to make it happen. He was stopped just in time.
Lies, said Beaumont. The Emperor is divine. The Emperor protects.
Which is it then, Beaumont, said Calcator. The Emperor spoke the truth, and he is not a god, and you are wrong, or he is a god and you are right, which makes him a liar. Do you not see? He does not care about humanity. The whole purpose of his crusade was to further his own goals of ascendance. He didn't wish to oppose the gods of chaos. He wanted to become one.
Lies, lies, said Beaumont. End him, Zurbarin. Turn your bridge weaponry on him and wipe his stain from the galaxy.
Would you do that, Zurbarin? Said Calcator. We are the true champions of mankind. We serve ourselves, but in doing so we preserve humanity. Might is right. To save our species, we must embrace the powers of this universe, the great gods of chaos. We do not do this because we are evil. We do it because we must.
What are you, Zurbarin? What are the Fist's Exemplar?
Oily swirls of light played through the oculus as a void shield collapsed.
We are a wall that defends the Imperium, he said dully. His heart was breaking.
You are a bastion in a fortress of lies, and this warrior, this Black Templar who wears his fanaticism so openly, is its castellan.
Kill him, urged Calcator.
They will kill you too, Zurbarin, once they are done with me, said Beaumont.
We have fought alongside you for months, brother, said Calcator. Where were they?
Zurbarin looked from Beaumont to Calcator.
Call off the attack, Zurbarin said one last hopeless time to Beaumont.
Never,
said Beaumont.
A single shot was all it took. Beaumont's head disappeared in a mist of blood, his body locked in place by his armour. Zurbarin blinked stupidly at the bolt pistol in his hand. He had no recollection of drawing it. The little litany he had for the weapon went through his head. It was Umbra pattern. It lacked the refinement of post-heresy models, but it was good at what it was made for, and always would be. Purity through utility. That was how one proofed oneself against the unknowables of the galaxy. Without thinking, he had made his decision. He had damned himself.
All ships open fire. Destroy the abhorrence, he ordered.
Faces, paler than lack of sunlight could explain, looked back at him.
Now!
The crew moved into action. Corpses were heaved aside by repair teams. Where needed, backup stations were brought into operation. Fresh serfs were admitted onto the bridge. Zurbarin walked to the command dais and stood by Markarian's corpse.
My lord, courageous and implicit are breaking from attack, said the master of the auger. I have reports of fighting breaking out aboard the Gilliman.
Tell Captain Venthrin to contain it or it will be his head.
Courageous, implicit, come about. Open fire on the abhorrence or be declared enemies of the chapter.
Arcos's horrified face flickered into view.
Then we are enemies, said Arcos. You betray your oaths.
Weapons batteries open fire on the courageous and the implicit, said Zerbrin coldly. That is the price of their disloyalty.
The void erupted with chaotic firing as the Fist's exemplar chapter fell apart. The implicit took a punishing broadside as it attempted to turn and flee, wrecking its engines and leaving it drifting out of control. The courageous took a different tack, coming directly at the Dantalion with all weapons blazing. The abhorrence's fire redoubled, encouraged by the split in the Fist's exemplar.
"Courageous is building to ramming speed," shouted the master of the auger.
"He means to take us with him," said Zerberin. "Concentrate all fire forward."
The courageous came down towards them, void shields flaring as they shunted the power of Dantalion's fury into the warp. At a distance of meters, it skimmed past the Dantalion, close enough for protruding spires on both vessels to be sheared off by the pass. The Dantalion shuddered violently as Courageous burned its engines at maximum and powered past.
"The Courageous is escaping!"
"Ignore it! Destroy the abhorrence," said Zerberin.
The Black Templar's battle barge was beset on all sides, fire from the Paragon, Gilliman, and the Dantalion bringing down one shield after another. With a low purple light, its final void shield gave out, and the combined barrage of the three Fist's exemplar ships slammed into it. The abhorrence came apart in a shower of fire. Apothecary Rayok cackled like a child at a victory display. Honoria stood silently, his face lit by the explosion.
"We are fortunate. If Beaumont had commanded the Eternal Cruiser, we would all be dead,"
the librarian said quietly. Kalkator's gun came up to Zerbrin's face. He pressed it lightly against Zerbrin's temple. Its muzzle was still warm from firing.
"Who are you, First Captain Zerbrin? Are you a Fist exemplar still? Will you slay me as you slew Beaumont? Was all this fratricide a terrible mistake?"
Zerbrin turned. Kalkator's bolt gun slid around his face until it was in the centre of his forehead. Zerbrin pressed his face against it and stared into Kalkator's eye lenses.
"A Fist exemplar is never mistaken," he said.
He knelt. Behind him, the crew and space marines of a Dantalion followed his example.
"Iron within, iron without," he said.
Once free of the emitter system, communications became possible again. The last vestiges of the Green Roar clung hard to the Iron Warrior's home, and Arkos, captain of the Fourth Company, last loyal officer of the Fist's exemplar, suspected that was not chance. Having hauled over at an isolated mining colony, Arkos spent some time communicating with other members of the Last Wall. By these means, he discovered that Maximus Thane was at Idolica, once home world of the Fist's exemplar. As soon as this information was known, Courageous made all speed there to find Phalanx in high anchor over the Alcazar Astra. It could have hid in the night side of the world, but in a show of machinic sympathy with a downed starfort, Dawn's citadel stood in the full light of the blazing Idolican sun. The choice lifted Arkos's battered spirit. The joy that greeted the Courageous's arrival at Phalanx turned somber as it became apparent that there were no more ships coming, and there were only 22 surviving Fist's exemplar. The battered cruiser was escorted in with full pomp, but when Arkos exited his vessel, grim-faced, and demanded to be conveyed to the chapter master immediately, the last smiles died on lips that moved with many questions. Arkos would provide answers to no one but Thane. At Arkos's request, Thane dismissed his honor guard and advisers, leaving Arkos and him alone. Thane occupied the throne of Inwit, a high seat in a massive dome devoid of any other furniture. Bathed in a shaft of diamond-white light, so bright it seemed distilled from the system's deadly sun, Thane listened in furious silence to Arkos's report. Arkos knelt to deliver it, his eyes fixed firmly on the floor.
"Beaumont is dead," Thane said when Arkos had finished. "And Zerbrin turned."
His voice caught in his throat. Zerbrin had always been impetuous, creative in interpreting his orders, but he had been a warrior of uncommon valour.
"Honorius, too."
"Yes, my lord.
We spent too long with the Iron Warriors. Some of their evil must have wormed its way into his heart. Apothecary Raoc is with him, and some 200 others.
Arcos looked up.
Allow me to atone. Let me rebuild the Fist's Exemplar, and I swear we shall become a byword for opposition to the traitors. We shall return to the Rubicante Flux and hunt for them through the reefs of the Immaterium. We shall be dauntless and never rest. This shall be my oath.
Thane gripped the armrest of his throne. The shaft of light, shining hard from above, cast his face into craggy shadow.
You have sworn many oaths, Captain Arcos. You have dishonored them all. My lord, I do not know what I can say.
You can say nothing. The anger of Thane's voice was awful for its calmness.
You have consorted with traitors, and failed to prevent the greatest shame to befall the Adeptus Astartes since the Heresy War. Please, let me atone.
No.
The Fist Exemplar will not be reconstituted. You and your warriors will submit yourselves to the Master of Recruits, and you shall be inducted into the Imperial Fists. A new chapter shall be raised, and take Alcazar Astra as their home.
If we are to obscure the metal of our armor with the yellow of the Imperial Fists, there will be no more Fists Exemplar left. The chapter will die. Please, let me save the memory of our predecessors. Do not let one moment of madness undo a millennium of loyal service.
There will be no memory. No monuments or songs. The name of the Fist Exemplar shall be struck from Imperial records. Every mention, every honor, every report shall be hunted down and expunged from history. It is our shame that ours is the first chapter to fall to chaos since the Heresy. We do not deserve to be remembered.
Arcos stood in disbelief.
My lord, we must be allowed to salvage the honor of Oriax Dantalion. We cannot let his legacy die here.
There is no honor left,
shouted Thane, suddenly wrathful. His armored fist slammed into the throne arm.
Stubborn, prideful, convinced of our own rectitude. So arrogant we remained that when our star fort fell, we would not ask for aid from the Adeptus Mechanicus. Rather defy the wrath of a star than admit to any wrongdoing. Those were the gifts of Dantalion to our chapter. They have served us poorly. Our record shall be erased.
Yes, my lord, said Arcos.
He bowed his head.
You should have acted. You should have spoken up. There is no situation so dire as to render an alliance with the traitors expedient, and the Iron Warriors no less. As penance, you shall descend to Idolica. You shall oversee the destruction of the records of the Fist's Exemplar. Your tears will wet the relics of our order as you consign them to oblivion. As you watch our history burn to ashes, I pray you remember the traitor can never be called friend.
My lord, said Arcos, we shall see it done.
Our name shall be forgotten. Let none speak of it evermore. We are the Imperial Fists now and forever. Let that be our legacy.
It is a pure one, said Chapter Master Thane. No mention of the Fist Exemplar passed Thane's lips again in his long life, and he would not tolerate the name being said in his hearing until the day he died.